Thank you, Jesus.
What a time of worship, Reverend.
Yes.
And
yes.
I want to challenge the worship team. Whenever you're worshiping like that, don't feel like you're imposing on the pastor's time. Just don't stop worshiping.
Just keep worshiping.
If we have to stay here all day just worshiping,
just
keep worshiping.
Worshiping.
Something great and mighty happens when God leads us into that realm of worship.
Yes. Yes.
And so we have to be mature Christians and just keep worshiping.
Yes.
Because there's something God is going to do and He's getting ready to do.
Yes.
So anytime you get to that level, magnify the Lord. My soul, my soul, my soul.
Yes.
Just magnify Thee, O Lord. My soul, my soul.
Yes.
Wait for Thee, O God.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe somebody is waiting patiently for the Lord.
Yes.
But I know also that the Lord is waiting patiently for us.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
this morning's scripture reading is from the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to verse 10. Before we get there, I just want us, let's just stand so that we may go before the presence of the Lord in prayer. Another instruction. Madam reader, whenever, at any time you're reading the word of God, always chat, great job, but always challenge them to stand up.
Yes.
It just shows this is the standard that we keep.
Yes.
And even when you do it on Tuesday night, challenge them. In your house, wherever you are, just stand up as you read the word of God.
Yes.
And watch God do something to a people who honors His word in the way which we honor His word.
Thank you, Lord.
It's Father, let's touch and agree. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity.
Yes.
We are waiting upon you, O Father, knowing that you are waiting upon us too.
Yes.
We magnify you, Lord God, because, Lord God, this is what we do. Praise is what we do.
Yes, Lord.
We bless you, Father, because, Lord God, for this purpose you have birthed us, that we may show forth your glorious presence upon this earth.
Yes, Lord.
To reveal, O God Almighty, your mystery.
Yes.
To the kingdom of darkness.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that every mind and every heart that is present here in this world this morning, Lord God, that your spirit would connect with them in such a special and unique way.
Yes.
That they would know that I've been in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
God, we bless you for what we don't know what you're going to do yet.
Yes.
But God, we thank you and we bless you for what you are about to do.
Yes.
We are looking, Father, to get to another level, to get deeper in you.
Yes.
So, God, here we are. We wait for you.
Yes, Lord.
We wait patiently on you.
Yes.
No wonder, Lord, the angels magnify you the way that they do.
Yes, Lord.
And they worship you.
Yes.
Blessings and honor and glory and praise belong to you.
Yes, Father.
You're crowned in majesty. Lord Jesus, we look into you. And we thank you, Father. And we give you glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, please remain standing. Take your Bibles. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to verse 10. I'm going to read verse, and I might add verse 11 later on. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." Let's read verse 8 together. "Toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died." Let's read that verse one more time. "But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 9 says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated.
Bless the Lord.
And I want to minister this morning using a title, A Demonstration of Perfect Love. A Demonstration of Perfect Love. These verses that we just read, it speak of substitutionary death. It speaks of atonement. It speaks of God's agape love. It speaks of justification. And it speaks of reconciliation. All terms that are as some theological basis. It is all terms that some of it we have known, but it still bears, it is for us to bear in mind that we need to keep being reminded of what the impact of these for us. But before we can even look at that, though, we have to, before we even try to understand those terms, we have to go to the scriptures, because there's something that is captured in verse 6 that gives us the understanding as to why we need these, we needed the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, the atonement, we needed God's agape love, we needed to be justified, and we needed to be reconciled back to God. So let's look at verse 6 together. Because it highlights the condition of man. And it highlights why we have to look at these five things that I've mentioned. It says, for when we were yet without strength, meaning that we were helpless. It highlights our helpless condition. It highlights the fact that we were completely separated from God. In other words, we were unplugged from the source of life. God is the source of life. The scripture says, in him we live, we move, we breathe, we have our being. But we were unplugged from that source. So just think of a patient in an hospital room. And that patient is on life support. He's on breathing apparatus. He or she's on breathing apparatus. And suddenly the plug is going to be full. And so that's the condition that we are in. That's the condition that we were in. It was only a matter of time. Only a matter of time. So my question is, can you see the problem in that? We are on life support and the plug is about to be pulled. That's a problem. So that's what our condition was. And like what one songwriter says, that we were sick and helpless and ready to die. Somebody bless his name. That's our condition, the human condition. But I like what verse 6 continues, when it continues, it says. It says, although we are, it was only a matter of time. Verse 6 continues, it says, in due time. Somebody praise his name. In due time. Right? In due time, it says, Christ died for the ungodly. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God decided by himself to do something about our condition. We didn't deserve it. We didn't even ask for it. We didn't even understand the condition we were in. But Christ, God decided of his own mind, I'm going to do something about the condition of mankind, because they have been completely separated from me. The Bible says our sin has separated us from God. So this is the point where we talk about the substitutionary death and the atonement. This is where it comes in. And what is the atonement and what is the substitutionary death that we talk about? The atonement and the concept is when God gave man the opportunity to deal with sin in the Old Testament time. And he made it in such a way that man could offer a sacrifice to him. And he would temporarily be able to move that sin out of the camp. So the Day of Atonement was the day in which the high priest, that the only day the high priest could go behind to the Holy of Holies.
And that high priest had to make a sacrifice for himself. He had to make a sacrifice for his family. He had to make a sacrifice for the whole nation.
Yes, sir.
And they after making the sacrifice, they would place that sin upon this goat. They call it the scapegoat, the scapegoat, and they would send it out into the desert because the sin of the camp needed to be taken away and be as far away from the children of Israel as possible. And so that's the atonement that we're talking about. That man has a condition that needed to be atoned for. And this just leads us into, it was really just leading us into Christ. Now in terms of what this substitutionary debt is about, is the concept is captured when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son, his only son Isaac. And he went up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son. But in the midst of going to sacrifice his son, God provided a sacrifice himself, a ram in the bush, so to speak. And so so that ram became a replacement, a substitute for this other sacrifice, the sacrifice of Isaac, Abraham's son. So that's where the concept was demonstrated. Substitute, when we talk about substitute, it means to replace something. You take the place of. For example, just in regular usage, when you look at the sports teams, you have people who are playing and you have people who are reserves. And in the different sports, you have a person who will go and replace another person. Shopping, for example, you purchase a group, something at the store and it's defective. And so you return it and you ask them to replace it, to give you something else for this one. You're replacing the bad one with something that is actually good. So that's the idea of what we talk about, substitute. Now Jesus was that substitute that God made available to us. I want to read a few verses. It says, give you an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for he, and this is in the King James Version, for he has made himself to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Somebody thank God for that. Galatians 3 and 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, be made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Somebody thank God for that. Praise the Lord. Then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes. Somebody say that again. By whose stripes we are healed. Amen, somebody. So Jesus himself became that substitutionary sacrifice for all of mankind. No, the substitutionary debt is agape love on full display. So it's a demonstration of the perfect love. It's on display. Now, I want us to understand that the substitutionary debt is transformational. Meaning, if you pass through, if you accept this transformation, the substitutionary debt of Jesus Christ, you experience some transformation in your own life. And it's transformational because God gives us a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of character through the working of his Holy Spirit in our lives. So that's transformational. This is a marvelous, magnificent thing that God has done. Because God has done what seemed like an impossible thing with man. But with God, all things are possible. Man has been lost and separated from God. And he's the only one who could bring us back to him. Somebody bless his name. So it's a transformational change. It's the substitutional, death is transformational. So it's a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of character. The way we were, we have changed. We don't live the same way. The way we used to think, we don't think the same way. That's substitutional. So change of heart is actually captured in Ezekiel chapter 11. Where the Lord says, you know, I will give them a new heart. I'm going to take away the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'm going to do so, verse 18 and 19, that you may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. That's God stepping in. That's agape love, what, giving us what we don't deserve. It's a sacrificial love. Agape love is a sacrificial love. And so, but it also is a change of mind. It gives a change of mind, which we find, we capture that in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where it talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the scripture teaches us how to be able to think properly in Philippians chapter 2. I think it's chapter 2. It says, whatsoever things are true and just and lovely and pure and praiseworthy and of a good report, think on these things. So it causes us to have a change of heart, change of mind, and a change of character. Change of character is exemplified in 2 Corinthians 5:17. That if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creation. He's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and the old new and all things have become new. But we also capture that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And listen to, I want us to turn to the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I want us to see that for ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. This existence reveals to us the new character that we have. Everybody there? What does it say? So we are changed into the same image of Jesus Christ. We have been transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. From glory to glory, even being done as it's been done by the Spirit of the Lord. So we have a change, the transformation that takes place is a change heart, change mind, change character. Now everything that God does, everything about God is different from you and I. It's different from man. It's unique to him. And that goes also for his love. God's love is unique to him. God's love is unconditional. It is sacrificial. Everything about God is different from us. It's unique only to God. And his love is unique only to him. The agape love is unique to God. We generally talk about like four different kinds of love. I'm thinking these days you have probably five. But there's storge love, which is the familial love. Family, which is the love among parents and children, right? The parental relationship and so on. You have the eros, which is the erotic love. This is for lovers. This is for husband and wife and those who are in love and so forth, right? You also have the filial love, the Philadelphia, the brotherly love. Think of David and Jonathan, Philadelphia, filial love. But then you have the agape, this unconditional sacrificial love, which is the God love. I said these days you might have a fifth. I call it the transactional love. You buy love. They say money can't buy love. It's I love you if you can. So I'm going to add that to my Bible. The transactional love. It's a transaction. But there are some benefits, though, of the substitutionary. I'm not going to say long. There are some benefits of this substitutionary death. There's a benefit of the atonement. And look at verse 8. It says, but God, look at that word, you are commended. Meaning commended is, it means is demonstrate his love. He shows it. He proved it. He puts it on exhibition for us. But God loved, God commended his love. And notice commended is present. God is always showing and proving his love for us. God never stops showing his love for us. At no point in time, God has backed away and stopped showing his love for us. It says he commended his love. He puts it on display for us. God is always showing and proving his love for us. He says, but God commended his love towards us. He didn't wait for us to become good. It says that in that while we were yet sinners, we were still in our sins, lost, hopeless. We were just on life support. More than life support. Now every human being was born on life support. Whether we are born in Africa, in Europe, in Asia, in the Caribbean, in Latin America, North America, every single one of us was born on life support. Every single one of us was born with a condition, sin, that required us to be on life support. And the only way that so we were being unplugged, getting ready to be unplugged. And God says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, somebody bless his name, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ died for us. Just think of that for a moment. Christ died for us. This is a substitute. We deserve to die. We have sinned, not Christ. The scripture just said that he was without sin. But it says that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Verse 9 says much more than. In other words, if he's going to die for us when we were in our sins, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We shall be saved from wrath through him. So here are some benefits of this substitutionary death and atonement. Number one is that it's justification by his blood. The word justification, taken in its simplest state, is just as if it didn't happen. What we deserve, we didn't get. The punishment we deserve, we didn't get. He justified us. He makes us back, bring us back into a position of from the separation. He brought us back into oneness with him. That's what verse 9 says. Much more than being now justified by his blood. It took Jesus' blood to reconcile us back to God, which is the other term that we're going to be talking about. Reconcile means that, and if you use it in accounting a lot, it's just that there's a difference between one side and the next side. The difference was sin. Our sin, the scripture says, separate us, us from our God. And that sin needed to be dealt with. It needed to be taken out of the equation. But Jesus came and he stood in the place where sin was standing. And he's like, he stretches on to the Father. And he stretches on to us. And says we are connected to the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what reconciliation is. You're no longer separated from your God. I'm standing in the middle for you. I'm your mediator, the Bible says. I'm standing. Lord, I'm standing, Father. I'm standing in the gap. For thee, now for whoever it is, I am the Lord. As he said to Thomas, look at my hands.
Yes.
They were pierced for you.
Yes.
Look at my side.
Yes,
so, God, Jesus Christ, was the one who reconciled us back to God.
Yes.
That's what reconciliation is. It talks about being saved from God's wrath. God's wrath was never intended for us. However, and we'll see later in scripture, if We don't accept the substitution. In our words, we will be saying, Lord, I am able to stand in your presence, justify myself to you, that I am justified. I am righteous. And that's an impossible statement. I am righteous before God, my Creator. And then it says that we have been saved, being able to rejoice in God. That's down in verse 11. It talks about, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a story of this man, Job. Job went through a lot of difficulties. It's a story. And he met in a car accident. It was badly damaged. Joe, soon after that, lost his job. And he find himself, his family found that, you know, Joe was going through some hardship. So they went, Joe went to the pastor, and the pastor recognized it too. And the pastor, Joe said to the pastor, listen, I've been through it all. So the pastor says, and his wife, the pastor and his wife recommended Job, you need to see the doctor. Just in case there is something physically wrong with you. So Job went to the doctor and they didn't find anything physically wrong with Job. So the doctor recommended Job, you need to see the psychologist. And his wife was in agreement. And Job decided to, okay, reluctantly decided to see the psychologist. Because in his mind, he had been through it all. So he saw the psychologist. His wife was at home waiting, expectantly for Joe to come. So when Joe got home, she said, you know, what happened? What happened? Joe said, he can't help me. He can't do nothing for me. She said, how can you say the man can't do anything for you? You have only been there one day, for one day, just for 1 hour. Joe's response was, I asked the man some questions about his own life. And he ain't been through nothing. He hasn't been through anything, so he can't tell me anything. I've been through all things. But we have a Savior, though, who have been through it for us. We have a Savior called Jesus Christ, who knows our ins and outs. Whatever we are going through, he has been through it. Whatever we are, he's been touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Whatever sickness, he has been through it. Whatever is trials, our Savior has been through it. As a matter of fact, he's been through the valley of the shadow of death. That's why the psalmist can say, I fear no evil. Because our Savior has been through it. He got unplugged. Jesus got unplugged from the life support when he was on the cross. He got unplugged from his father. He got separated from his father. And he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? He got separated from the Father. He says, so he's able to help us because he has been through it all. I like what Hebrews 2 and 18 says. It says that he himself, having suffered, was tempted, so that he's able to, the word he used is succor us, meaning help us, to aid us. That word almost feel like he's able to hug us, to embrace us. It means to aid, to come to the assistance of. The Greek word, I think, is botheo. Botheo, B-O-E-T-H-E-O, botheo. And it captures the sense that someone cries out, and he, having heard it, hasten with great haste to help the person. So we have a Savior who's able to what? Succor us. That word sounds nice to me. It sounds better than him. He's able to what? Succor us. Can you say that? He's able to succor me. Hallelujah. God is able to succor me. Bless his name. I know somebody this morning who needs God to support them. I know somebody that have before the Lord even now that needs God to support them. Kayla Daly needs God to support her this morning. You know somebody that's going to want you to call the person's name. Don't be afraid to call up. God, I need you to support Pastor Daniel Sylvester Henry. I need God to secure Michael Daly. You know somebody. Call his name. Call their name. You need God to secure who? Let me hear some names. Juliana, I need some God to support DeAndra. I need God to secure her. I need God's help. I need his intervention. So God, support me in the name of Jesus. I need God's intervention. I need him to run to my help. I need him to hasten on my behalf. Oh, God, support me in the name of Jesus. Support me. It sounds nice. You can't be cool about begging God to come in. You can't be too cool about crying out to the Lord. It gives me just this idea of this blind man. When Jesus was passing by, and he said, Jesus, Son of David, support me in the name of Jesus. I need mercy. Support me, Lord. And if you really do get the sense of the Apostle Peter walking on water and beginning to sink, and he cried out to the Lord, support me in the name of Jesus Christ. You might feel as if your current situation is taking you under, but I dare you to cry out, Lord, support me in the name of Jesus Christ. I need God to support me, to help me, to come to my aid in the name of Jesus Christ. And he doesn't leave us. He says, invite us. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace. I have help for you. Come. He says, when you call, I will hear and I will answer. He's saying, come, I have help. I'm your supporter. I'm your helper. I'm your strength. I'm your healer. I'm your deliverer. I need your God to come, oh God. God is calling us and is inviting us. That's what I like about this substitutionary death. Yes. He's a sacrifice and it's unconditional. Yes. And he knows my state and my condition before I even knew them. And he's saying, come, you come, you come. He's inviting us to come so that he may help us. Yes. Hallelujah, somebody. Yes. Somebody bless his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody bless his name. Because he has been through it all. He has been on the cross. He has been before Pilate. He has been through trials. He has been through agony. He went through Gethsemane. And he has been through it. And he said on the cross, it is finished. That's what I've completed it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But God continued to show his love. He commended his love, which is present tense. And keep continuing to show his love towards us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Somebody bless his name. Hallelujah. Somebody praise him. Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Praise him, church. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. He's a great God. He's a holy God. He's a good God. He's our help. He's our strength. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Invite his presence right now. Somebody exalt his holy name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, we'll say of the Lord, you are our help. You are our strength. You are our refuge. You are a present help in times of trouble. You are a healer. You are a deliverer. You are a savior. We thank you. Come and secure me, O God. Come and secure us. Oh God, we need your presence, Lord. And we need your help. Bless his name. Bless his name. Just stand to your feet and bless his name. Stand to your feet and bless his holy name. Hallelujah. 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 We praise the Lord. Hallelujah. that needs God help?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You
Praise
may be seated.
The Lord.
I have one
Lord.
Final point to make. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. I have a scripture here that I want us to be able to turn to. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2.
Yes.
I'm in the King James Version. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to go through this and then we close. This is a point of warning. Don't take God's great salvation for granted by neglecting it. And this is the warning that God gave to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1
yes.
to verse 3. I'm in King James Version. It says, we all there?
Yeah.
It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. This is a warning. To the things which we have heard. Like what you have heard this morning. Lest at any time we should let them slip. In other version it says we should let them drift away. The mind, the understanding is like a boat just drifting away. Verse 2 says, for the word spoken by angels was steadfast, meaning sure, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, a proper punishment of reward. Verse 3, let's read that together. Right, it says, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If Jesus Christ became our substitutionary sacrifice, and we know it now, we have heard it, and God has been shown, when it says that God has, it says, if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first, began to be spoken by the Lord when he speak this to his disciples, and God confirmed it by them that heard him. So God confirmed it. And verse 4 talk about God confirming it with witness and both signs and wonders and diverse miracles. But the warning for us is this. God has done all of that for us. His great sacrificial death. The atonement of our sin. He has justified us, reconciled us. And his agape love is on full display for us. It says it's an exhibition for us. How shall we then escape if we neglect such a great salvation? That's the warning God wants for us. Do not neglect the salvation of God. If you only knew the blessing that salvation brings. Do not neglect the salvation of God. In other words, don't just take it for granted. Don't become complacent. Don't drag. I don't care if we get to 1,000,000 years old. We must keep going forward. We must keep pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing and praising and praising and praising and never stop. Somebody bless his name. I will never cease to praise him. I will never cease to give him thanks. I will never cease to give him glory. Hallelujah. 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 Let us stand. Let us stand one more time. She's like here at the gym. But God bless God. Let us just bow your head with me, please. If you're here this morning, this afternoon now. And one, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know, you do not have a relationship with him. You don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to tell you, you're still on life support. And that plug can be pulled at any time. It says that we were born to die. For it is appointed unto man once to die. You're on life support. And you can't do anything about your condition except to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if you're here this afternoon, would you just raise your hand and the altar is open too. You could just come to the altar. If you're in a backslidden state, there's a warning which came from Hebrews chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect such a greater salvation? You might be on the conference line. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, just a pastor, I need a Savior. We'll be praying for you as well. If you're in a backslidden state, say, I need to come home, because the Master is calling again. Father, we thank you. Everybody, hands raised, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you have given to us through your death. We thank you that you saw us in an helpless condition. And it said, your word says, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Lord, we can't thank you enough for what you have done. We ask, Lord, that you would search our hearts. Examine us. And Lord, I repent from my own sins. I want you to cleanse me, Lord. It's creating me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit in me. Forgive me for my sins. For they are ever before you. Lord, I want a new relationship with you. I want you to draw closer to me. Succor me, O Lord. Succor me, O Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that every word you speak can be trusted. Every word that you speak will come to pass. We thank you, Lord, that today you have opened our eyes fresh and new again. Fresh and new again. In the name of Jesus. I receive your blessing. I receive your peace. I receive your anointing that breaks every yoke in my life and in my bloodline. Thank you that through your blood, I can have the victory. And I give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Put your hands together and bless him and thank you.